Well, today we come to the last banner, and then next week we go back and Pastor Val picks up the Gospel of Luke. Yeah, you haven't finished the story yet. Today we talk about the Star of Wonder. The Gospel of Matthew, particularly the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, tells us the story of the Magi, who were a group of astronomers, not astrologers, but astronomers from the East. And they followed a new star, trying to find out to whom that star belonged. They knew that that star was not just an ordinary star. It was more important than anything they had ever seen in their lives. So they packed up, headed out, and followed the star to see where it would lead them. As we read the New Testament, we see that Matthew is the only gospel that tells us the story about the Magi and the star. Now, though he reported the story, he really does not explain the significance of the new star. And so to get that information, we need to turn to the Gospel of John. And in John 1, 1 through 5, John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things are made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness have not overcome it." Now, to most of us, wow, what is the Apostle John saying here? It's confusing, isn't it? Each gospel writer approached the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth from a different angle. Matthew and Mark described a wonderful story of how Jesus came to live among us. Those two gospels give us the traditional Christmas story, which we love and cherish every Christmas season. Now, the Gospel of Mark does not mention the birth of Jesus. Instead, he goes right for the jugular vein as he begins to tell us about Jesus' ministry on earth. And so he begins his gospel with the baptism of Jesus. And then we have the Gospel of John. It's a whole different type of gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call the Synoptic Gospels. But the Gospel of John just doesn't fit in what we normally consider gospel stories in the sense of the way the other three are written. Now, starting this coming Thursday night, as you've already heard, during our fellowship, we're going to be talking more about John. But for now, John does not tell us the traditional Christmas story. However, he doesn't ignore the Christmas story altogether. Instead, he gives us the abstract version of the Christmas story as he makes references to the Word, light, and darkness. The power of the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that they show how human Jesus really was. But when we read the beginning of these three Gospels, we may get the impression that the life of Jesus begins with the Christmas story. We may get the impression that Jesus was only human then. Now, the Gospel of John steps in and clears up any misconceptions that we have that Jesus was just merely a human being. Remember, John wrote his Gospels many years after the other three Gospels were written. He reminds us how timeless Jesus is, how divine Jesus is, how overwhelming Jesus is. The infant that we see in the nativity scene is unlike any other child in existence. This infant Jesus incredibly holds complete power over all things, even as a newborn baby. All of the power of the universe is in Jesus. Join me in an exploration to discover just what John is telling us about who Jesus is. to help lower the complexing story, we're going to make this now a dialogue, a conversation, rather than a sermon or a lecture. There is no coincidence that the star appeared the night that Jesus was born. The Magi, or the wise men as we call them, showed up later to see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And we don't know how many there were. We sing, "We Three Kings," but we honestly do not know how many were there. There's no mention of it in the Bible. Another fact, they did not arrive on Christmas night. It took about a year or two for them to find Jesus, and they found a child. They didn't find an infant, they found a child. And that's why King Herod gave the orders to kill all male children in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. And this was fulfilled in Jeremiah's prophecy that we read in Jeremiah 31:15. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel reaping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So Jeremiah was prophesying that this was going to happen. The new star that appeared on Christmas Eve is in reality a new light. Now, like the infant Jesus, the light of the new star appeared to be insignificant to most people. To the human eye, the star appeared to just be another light twinkling in the sky. And even though the human eye can only see a small speck of light in the sky, and although the human eye can only see a newborn infant, the reality is that the star was huge and it was powerful. It was like our own sun, a life-giving force. In parallel, the infant Jesus was mistaken for just another infant, just as that new star was taken for a small twinkling light in the sky. But in truth, somehow, like the star, Jesus is overwhelmingly powerful. He is not only the source of light, he is light and life itself. The twinkling light was in reality a star, as I said, as large as our own sun. And the infant Jesus is in reality creator. How do we know this? The Apostle John tells us so. In John 1:1, we read the phrase, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, John is paralleling the beginning of the book of Genesis with the beginning of his book of the Gospel of John. In Genesis 1:1, we read, "In the beginning, God." And John is saying, "In the beginning was the Word." In 1 Corinthians 15:22, we read that Jesus is the second Adam. The scripture says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Now please understand that the first Adam, that in the first Adam, we all experience death. And the death that we experience is a spiritual death, which means that we have been separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were removed from the presence of God as they were forced out of the Garden of Eden. They were, in effect, spiritually dead. That spiritual death is passed on to all of their heirs. That means you. That means me. And we experience death through the first Adam. But we can receive life through the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Now, John wrote about a new beginning while at the same time writing about the beginning of creation. Jesus, who is the Word, was at the creation of the universe. In Bethlehem, Jesus came in the form of a human being for a new beginning. Genesis describes God's first creation. John describes the new creation. And he describes how the second Adam, Jesus, has come to make a new creation. He wrote, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him, we read in Colossians 1, 15, 16. Now notice in John 1, 1, that not only was the Word at the beginning, but the Word was also with God. Now sadly, that doesn't come through in our translation, our English translation, in the sense of intimacy that is described in the second phrase, the Word was God. What is expressed here is the greatest kind of intimacy possible with God the Father. The Word, Jesus, is so close to God the Father that he is, in effect, God. And John tells us the Word was God. Now, a person's word reveals who he or she is. And the Word of God, Jesus, reveals God for who he is. He reveals the very nature of God. Genesis takes us back to a point in time where the beginning starts. Genesis takes us back to the point of time where time to where beginning started. John goes back even further beyond the beginning in time. Now that's hard for us to understand. How can it be time before there was time? How can it be anything before there was anything? But the Word, Jesus and God, existed before time. Now that's hard for us, as I said, to understand. But there's an old spiritual which explains it more in our language. This Afro-American spiritual says, and God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. As far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Now, I've never been down in a cypress swamp, and certainly I've never been there at midnight, but I can envision that it's pretty dark. So after God created the world and everything in it, he said, let us make man in our own image. Question is, who was God speaking to? Let us make man in our own image. Who was he speaking to? It had to be the Word. It had to be Jesus. The Word existed before the beginning. And again, this is very hard for us to understand. But he existed in the closest possible relationship with the Father. There's no differentiation between the two. John is telling us that Jesus and the Father are one, but at the same time, they're not identical in essence. Wow! Get that one through our head. Jesus and the Father are one, yet they're two distinct persons. This is the nature of God. Now, when John used the word was, he wasn't using it in the simple past tense. He used the word was in the sense that the Word constantly was. He expresses neither a completed state nor a coming into being. He just was. We can't say anything else. God just was. And John is telling us that clearly the Word was not created. God didn't create Jesus. In English, we might say the Word just was. And Jesus plainly states that about himself in John 8:58, where he says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. The phrase was God is not just saying that something's divine about Jesus, but that Jesus is divine. Now, if we look at verse 2, and you have that on your handout here, John restates the closeness of Jesus, and the Father declare up any doubts that these two were working together at the creation of the universe. And now at the new creation, in Hebrew literature, when something is repeated, it is very important. Jesus said many times, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's saying, hey, this is important, this is important. In verse 3, we see that all things were made through the Word, through Jesus. And John clarifies this by saying that nothing was made without Jesus. You see, like the first creation, The second creation was not carried out by someone of lesser status. It was created by God himself. God didn't assign one of the angels to carry out the creation of the universe. He did it himself. And in the same way, God did not assign the creation of the new creation to be carried out by somebody else. He did it himself. God created the universe by himself. God brought about the new creation by himself. And this new creation into being by the action. And here we go now. We're going to talk another complicated word from it. The logos or logos. This is the word Jesus. Okay. We'll explain that a little bit later. Now, don't get overcomplicated with this, but I'm just trying to build a basis here for where we're going to go with our Bible study. Get the hard part out today. So Jesus is literally the will of God, the purpose and the power of God revealed in human form. Now, question is your head spinning yet? Yeah, okay. Okay, those of you that have had college classes on this, your head's probably spinning too, as mine is. Okay, so let's stop here for a moment. Let's take a deep breath. Let's shake off the cobwebs. Okay? So here's a question for you. Why did John use the abstract language to describe the beginning of Jesus' ministry and to tell who Jesus really was? Why did John say what he said? Why do we read this and not understand it? And believe me, theologians still have a hard time, and I'm no theologian, but they have a hard time understanding this. I'll give you the secret. John did not have us in mind when he was writing this passage. He wasn't writing to say, well, in the year 2015, Richmond Community Church is going to be reading John 1, 1 through 5, so I'm going to write this. He had no idea. He just wasn't interested in this. What he had in mind was the ancient Hebrew mind and the ancient Greek mind, and those that would be reading this passage. So he wrote it based on the Greek word O Logos, L-O-G-O-S, which is translated into English as the Word. And he did this because on one hand, the Greek minds thought that the Logos was what laid behind the universe and maintained its order. We'd say it was the physical law. On the other hand, he was also thinking of the Jewish mind, where creation took place through God speaking, and God said, let there be. And so by using the word, John communicated exactly what he wanted to communicate to those he knew would be reading the gospel at that time. He was saying, Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Jesus has always been around. So, for us this morning, we have two things going against us. One, we're not ancient Hebrews. And two, we aren't ancient Greeks. But to the early Christians who were reading this passage, it made perfect sense. It was a power. Yeah, they had many gods. But they were more into logic, into physics, and so they knew that the world was created, but there had to be some law, some force that kept everything in action, some force that kept the planets turning as they saw it there, or the universe.
But they didn't really see it as a personal.
Not as a personal relationship with God that we have. Okay. So now we see John telling us that not only has Jesus always been around, and not only is Jesus creator, and not only is Jesus God himself, but further, Jesus is life itself. Jesus is life itself. Now, in Genesis, it's clear that God is the source of all life. When God created Adam, he breathed life into him. Adam did not receive life through an evolutional process, or through some complicated chemical process, or some biological metamorphosis. Adam received life directly from God himself. Now, that Afro-American spiritual that I shared a few moments ago was written by a man named James Weldon Johnson. And he explains the creation of man in the conclusion of his poem, The Creation. He wrote, "Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at all the little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, 'I'm lonely still.' Then God sat down on the side of the hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought till he thought, 'I'll make me a man.' And up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the farthest corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. And then into it, he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Amen. Amen. So, back to our message. In Genesis, it's clear that God is the source of all life. In today's passage, we see Jesus as the dual source of life. First in Genesis as Creator God, Jesus gave life to Adam. And then through his death and resurrection, Jesus again gives life to those of us who believe in his name. Jesus allows us to be born again, as it were. When John said that Jesus brings life, he used a Greek word which we don't use, or we read in our Bibles, but the word is Zoe, Z-O-E. And he chose to use that word because Zoe is the Greek word for life, and it means eternal life. Now, John could have used the Greek word bios for life, which refers to biological life, but he chose the word for eternal life. John could have used psyche for life, which refers to the presence of a living soul. But he chose the word for eternal life. John used the word Zoe to show that Jesus brings life on a deeper level. Jesus brings us not only biological life and not just a living soul, but Jesus brings us eternal life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, we're told in John 10:10. Jesus is the one who brought life to humanity originally. Jesus is the one who brings us new life, the ability to be born again, the chance to have a spiritual life. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God who brings salvation to the world. Now we see John in the light of the concept, John brings in the concept of light. We see that Jesus is life, yes, but at the same time, Jesus is also light that we read in verse 4. John combines life and light to get across the idea of a deeper spiritual life. When John wrote about life, he was writing about spiritual vision. Perhaps a better way to put it in English is understanding. So we could say it this way. From Jesus, we receive new spiritual life and spiritual understanding of the spiritual life. In Jesus, we receive new spiritual life and the spiritual understanding of the spiritual life. What good is a new spiritual life without the understanding of how spiritual things work? The light that Jesus brings does a couple of things for us. First, the light reveals divine truth to us and reveals what real spirituality is. And secondly, the light exposes our sin that exists within our hearts. As a practical matter, the light of Jesus shows us that we really are not as good as we imagine ourselves to be. The light of Jesus reveals to us how much we truly need God. You and I need the light from Jesus to live as spiritual people. And without the light of Jesus, we cannot be a spiritual person. Because without that light, we are spiritually walking in darkness. Only a person who is walking in the light of Jesus has the ability to be a spiritual person. Ephesians 5:8 tells us, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Why were we in darkness? We were in darkness because we did not have Jesus. Who is in darkness? Anyone who does not have Jesus. If someone is in darkness, how can they be a spiritual person? How can they know God? For they are in darkness. Understand that John is not claiming that Jesus is a way among many ways to spiritual life. John is presenting that Jesus is the only option to know Jesus. Now, when I was working with Legacy Health Systems, I had a chaplain working with me who kept saying that there are many rivers run to the ocean. And he was trying to tell me that there are many ways to find God. I got news for you. There is one way to find God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. Now, you may say that those are strong words. Yes, they are strong words, and the words that I truly believe in, because this passage was written in the strongest word possible to convey the point that Jesus is our only option. Today, we have all kinds of people, as I said, who would argue that point with me. Life is Jesus Christ. This is nothing new. John tells us that in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, the word in Greek translated understood is another hard word to translate. It means more than just to understand. It means the ability to grasp the meaning of, or the ability to comprehend. John's point is, those in darkness do not have the ability to comprehend that Jesus is the light. The reason they cannot comprehend that Jesus is light is simple, yet profound. They are in darkness because they cannot see what is in the light. And it's our job to turn the light switch on. For people in the darkness to understand, that light must come to them. Until they are in the light of Jesus, they will remain in the dark. Now, understand too that John here is not conveying that light is an immortal struggle. There's no struggle between light and darkness. The light doesn't have to struggle with darkness. Turn on the light switch and the light overcomes darkness. The light is so powerful that darkness has no chance of overcoming the light. It's like turning on a light bulb in a dark room. Once you turn that light on, darkness is gone. So when we read the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, we come away with the impression that Jesus was somehow a created human being. However, when we look at John's version of the Christmas story, there is no way we can walk away with the impression that Jesus is merely human. The Star of Wonder led the Magi to Jesus. We learn from John that Jesus has always existed. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is God himself. We also learn that Jesus gave life to creation in the beginning, and Jesus comes again to give new life. Jesus himself is this light. Jesus illuminates the way for people to see and understand about this new life. Are you stumbling in the darkness? O Star of Wonder, Star of Night, Star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.